vault is open. I'm Pete McCarthy. It's one of the greatest Game 7s in World Series history. Maybe the greatest. Yankees-Pirates, the 1960 World Series. In this edition of The Vault, you'll hear a recap of everything that Bill did to the dramatic ending and the bottom of the eighth on in its entirety. Following the game, stay tuned to hear from the hero of the most dramatic finish in World Series history. First, a backstory. Entering the 1960 World Series, the Yankees were a juggernaut. Those star teams of the 1950s still largely intact, with Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, and Whitey Ford all still in the fold. The mighty Pinstripers had won 8 of the previous 13 World Series and entered winners in 15 straight regular season games. The Pirates, well, they didn't quite have the history of the Yankees. Prior to their appearance in 1960, they hadn't been to the series since 1927, a span of 33 years. That season, they lost to the famous Murderers Row Yankees. The Pirates' last World Series championship had come 2 years prior to that. The series was widely expected to be a formality for the Yankees, and it was anything but. The Pirates and Yankees split the first six, though the stats hardly appeared even. New York outscored Pittsburgh 46-17 and out-hit them 78-49, yet the Pirates were still in it. Pittsburgh actually had a 3-2 series lead, but Whitey Ford tossed a complete game shutout in Game 6, leading the way for a 12-0 Yankee victory and a Game 7. With more fans huddling outside Forbes Field than could fit inside it, we go to Pittsburgh to set things up. Jim Woods and Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Prince set the lineups and scene.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Forbes Field in Pittsburgh and the biggest ball game ever played in the history of this city. Game 7 of the 1960 World Series. The Pittsburgh Pirates against the New York Yankees. And I don't know what you're doing right now. There's 36,000 or better packed into this old ball, Archer. And you know how their hearts are beating. This is going to be quite a day. And we're just a moment or so away from game time. So quickly, here are the starting lineups. For the visiting Yankees this afternoon, leading off, playing at second base, Bobby Richardson. At shortstop, Tony Kubek. The right fielder batting third is Roger Maris. And in center field, batting out of the cleanup spot, the great Mickey Mantle. Left field today, Lawrence Peter Barra. At first base will be Bill Scourin. The catcher for the Yankees this afternoon, John Blanchard. The third baseman is the good glove Creek Boyer. And the pitcher, Bullet Bob Turley, who has already won one game in the series. His record on the 60 season, 9 wins and 3 defeats. Now for Pittsburgh. Leading off, playing center field, Billy Burton. The shortstop, Richard Morrow Gross. The left fielder, and Danny Murtaugh is happy to have him back starting again, Bob Skinner. At first base today, in a mild surprise, will be Rocky Nelson. In right field, the great Roberto Clemente. Catching, Smokey Burgess. The third baseman is the guy that has been the inspirational leader of this ball club all year long, John Hoke. At second base, Bill Mazeroski. And on the mound, Vernon Law. He is 2-0 in the series, and he was 20-9 on the year. We are ready to go, my friends, and it's time for me to proudly turn this microphone over to a man who has labored and loved and lost through all the lean years here in Pittsburgh with the Ricky Dick Pirates and the other things that have gone on. And what his thoughts might be today as this ball club stands on the threshold of winning it all for the city of Pittsburgh. I'm speaking, of course, the longtime voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Much, Possum, Jim Woods, and hello again, everybody. Well, it's all set. They're getting ready to go in Game 7.
One thing, Bob, the New York press was gathered around Vernon Law before the game, and of course, the main question about the ankle. The Deacon, who is as honest as the day is long, said it hurt. It hurts to walk on it, but you'd have to tie me up not to you'd let me start this ball game.
Well, that's exactly right, and he injured that. We're getting ready to go, and a little scuffle on the plane in exuberation coming out of Milwaukee when one of the Pirate players tried to grab him and pull him out of the seat and douse him with some water, and he held on tightly and accidentally slipped to that ankle. And it's bothering him a little bit, but he's in there nonetheless and ready to go.
I'm a little surprised that Charlie's starting myself. He only won 9 games through the year. He had his physical problems. I think would like to get him early.
And that's exactly what Pittsburgh would do, striking against Turley and the Yankees in the first inning behind the bat of Rocky Nelson.
One ball, one strike, no score in the bottom half of the first inning. 60 World Series. Clearly checks his runner, Bob Skinner. Another check over at first base, and now the pitch to Nelson. One on, and there goes a long drive. It's deep in the right field. It's going right down the right field line. Going back is Roger Maris. You can kiss it goodbye.
Wasn't long for the game, allowing a leadoff single in the second and immediately being replaced by Bill Stafford. Stafford was able to induce a 1-2-3 double play out of the pitcher Law to ease a bases-loaded, nobody-out situation, but the rally was hardly finished.
As Billy Burton stands in, runners at second and third with two down. Again, Stafford ready to go.
Meanwhile, on the Pittsburgh mound, Vern Law pitched well despite the injury, allowing only two hits through the first four innings. In the fifth, he surrendered a blast to Bill Mouskouren, and after allowing the first two batters to reach in the sixth, Law was pulled for forkballer Elroy Face. Face retired Roger Maris, but things deteriorated quickly against a pair of future Hall of Famers.
In the meantime, Mickey Mantle will fly to center.
Affording the Yankees bats dimes to make that comeback was Bobby Shantz. The 5'6" lefty entered to start the third and allowed only one hit and one walk in his first five fantastic frames. In the seventh inning, it was Bill Mazeroski up with one out and the potential tying run at first base.
Shantz, his secret of this ballgame so far is to stay well out ahead of the Pittsburgh hitters. Practically nothing. Joe Christopher, the pinch runner running for Smokey Burgess, dances off first base. Here's the pitch to Mazeroski. A line drive step by Richardson. Throw to first. Double play. And the Pirates are out of the inning. Christopher was breaking. And a line drive almost ran. Bobby Richardson. And Christopher doubled off first base. Christopher doubled off first base by three steps. No runs. One hit. No errors. And nobody left. We are through seven innings at Forbes Field.
Well, old Maz would get himself another shot, as you'll hear, but we'll get to that in a bit. In the eighth inning, the Yankees adding insurance.
You'll hear Blanchard stepping in now. Two men on, two men out. All this trouble started with two outs. Blanchard of the ballgame has been handled well by both Vernon Law and Elroy Face. He's 0-for-3. And here's the first pitch to Blanchard. Line into the hole, out toward right center field. Somebody coming over, trying to cut it off. Here is Farrah around third. He's coming on in to score, and on into third base goes Bill Skarin, and the Yankees now lead 6-4. Boyer line down the left field line. It is a fair ball down into the corner being pursued by Skinner. Here's Skarin
blows raining down at Forbes Field. The Pirates trailing 7-4 heading into the bottom of the eighth. And time for me to step aside. Here's the remainder of the game uninterrupted.
Now and see what we can do. We're down 3 points, as we used to say in the old trade. And we got Gino Cimoli, the happy young man from San Francisco, stepping in. Welcome to the Bay Area, Cimoli. Looking over Shams, who's been on since the second inning. And what a magnificent job to give due credit where credit is due. This little left-hander done today. Cimoli fouls off the first pitch off on the first pitch side for a strike. Nothing and one to count. World Series. Here's the pitch to Gino, and it's high for a ball. 1-1 the count. A lot of activity out in the Pirate bullpen, and one of the big starters warming up who's not had too much success in the series, Bob Pratt, is starting to lose. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Cimoli. Lyons, half pitch on the right field for a base hit. And that brings the fourth field base a little empty. And Cimoli starts it off with a base hit to right. Down by three. Burton on the afternoon has had 1-for-3, a base hit back in the second inning. Dan Canfield talking it up behind Bobby Jim. And the pitch to the coil is a little bit higher for a ball. 1-0 the count. We get a break. Possibly be able to tell a story about how the Buccos won a very big game in the series involving Burton, who's the batter now, and Groves is on deck on this signal.
Two have been, you would say, close to two bucks in a rug, but they've been roommates practically all their parents' careers, haven't they?
Yes, they certainly have, and that was a very big game. This game wouldn't even be played if not for the fact they missed the signal. All right, Shams is ready, and here's the pitch to Burton. There's a high topic ball down to Tony Kubek. Hits it. The ball is down, it goes Kubek, and everybody's going to be safe. And Kubek is down. Bob, I can break you with that ball.
I got the feeling that got him to throw it away. He grabbed himself. It looked to me like he backed up just a fraction to let that ball play in front of him. I see the trainer for the Yankees world, but he said, "I'll get him coming out in March." And looked to me like he got struck right in the throat with that ball.
Tony has a lot of success out there. Dangling out. Entire Yankee ball club gathered around Tony Kubek right now. The ball was hard hit, but it was a perfect double play ball. And again, Bob, your description of the Pittsburgh Pirate infield here. Comes into play.
It certainly does. Now I see Dr. Jimmy Sherman, throw specialist, running out there on the field too to take a look at Tony Kubek. That ball struck him right in the throat, apparently. He is really riding on the ground. And even Gino Cimoli, who's now anchored across the second base, has gone over to see how Tony's getting along.
Doesn't look like he's going to stay in the ball game. Gus wants him out of there, although got hit in the throat, well, how much he can tell. Tango, maybe they're going through that routine with him out there about what park is it, what park he in, what day is it, and everything else.
And if they're trying to get that out of him, he's got stress like that. We think he did right in the throat. He might not be able to say anything. He could have what they call a laryngeal spasm of some sort, which sometimes you and I get is a blessing of many ways.
Well, whatever that is, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I know they're taking him off the field. Who's that coming in to replace him? Jose Mestre, who's a reserve infielder, never plays a great deal for the Yankees.
Second base, and threw his member, and they came to a perfect shot.
track right over second, but nobody was there to get it. Bird went on into third, and he scored the run and won the ball game. That was a big one just because they missed a sign. Okay, Rob, I don't very much if any Yankee or any Pirate looks into us in the milking room right now, because both dugouts are jammed here with this situation developing. 7-4 New York, 2 men on from Pittsburgh, nobody out.
The ball
seconds. They represent the tying run. Yankees leading 7-5. Goes into the windup, and the pitch is over the outside corner for a call strike. And he immediately gets ahead of Rivero from his day. The on-deck hitter now is Al Smith, who replaced Smokey Burgess behind the plate. When Smokey singled, then they ran for him. Two out, 7-5 New York, eighth inning. Here's the pitch to Comini, a high valley ball up to the right of Scarron. He's over, got it. Nobody to throw to. Burst did not come to cover. He was 3 steps behind Comini. Burst scores. Goes to the third. It's 7-6. Maybe that's why they call him crazy.
That may well be why they call him crazy. Oh, what a play that he did not make. He had all the time in the world to get over there. Bobby had a rainy day, and with bang bang as it was, I mean, he got there. Thought I might have been in the big cabin. I don't know, but I'll guarantee you one thing, we're out in
front, Possum. Hang in there, get some more, and let's hold those Yankees.
All right, Terry is ready, and it's 9-7 Pittsburgh, and Don Hoke batting now with the bases empty. And it's still jubilant flying dugout. Terry's first pitch to Hoke is outside for a ball, 1-0. The Tiger hitless in two trips to the plate. Pittsburgh has amazingly come from behind again against the Yankees to lead this one 9-7. Here's Terry's pitch. And a high fly ball towards left, not deep. Vera moving off a little bit to his right, under it, makes the catch to retire the side. But the Pirates get 5 runs on 5 hits. No errors, nobody left. We go to the 9th inning, baby, and the score is Pittsburgh 9 and New York 7. All right, we go now to the top half of the 9th inning, and Danny Murtaugh has brought on one of his top winners, Bob Friend, who has been something a little bit less than a rating success so far in this series. But Friend right now facing the 3 biggest outs in his career, because that's all he needs to ensure the Pirates World Series victory. Robert, you're 3 outs away from golden glory. Turn it over to Robert Bartman Friend.
All right, and Bobby Richardson will be standing in. And this little guy that has set all kinds of World Series records is 1-4 thus far on the afternoon. The Pirates leading by a score of 9-7. Coming from back, he's coming away. We have no further word, by the way, on Tony Kubek, except to say that they have sent him to the hospital with Dr. Henry Sherman to check on his throat. He was struck a very paralyzing blow in the throat, and we hope that Tony Kubek is all right.
We certainly do. He's a fine man, personally.
Bobby Friend has the sign now from catcher Al Smith, who for the moment is the big hero in this ball game with a whacking big 3-run homer, as the Possum just described. Friend delivers. Richardson takes it low inside, ball one. Pirates leading by a score of 9-7. Top half of the ninth inning, 36,000 some odd screaming fans, 36,683 to be exact. Going absolutely wild. Pitch to Richardson, spun on a line drive, face into the left field by Bobby Richardson. Going to bat for Joe Demastri.
The Yankees have just gone Bob Friend in this series, Robert.
They certainly have. Bart hasn't been able to do anything against them so far. So now they got a man aboard and Dale Long, a left-hand batter. And if anybody doesn't remember what he did in baseball, then you weren't around. Because off a man by the name of Carl Erskine, on a one-ball, two-strike pitch, he hit a home run. And that was the home run that set an all-time world record. Home run in 8 consecutive ball games, and he received not one, not two, but 3 standing ovations. The fans here don't want to see that repeated. Pitch now down to Dale Long, falling for a strike for Friend. 9-7, the Pirates lead here in the top half of the ninth inning. Bobby Richardson on first base, nobody out with a base hit to left field. Friend checks his runner, comes to the plate, Long swings and hits a line drive into right field for the base hit. And Bobby Richardson has to hold at second base. Roberto Clemente comes up firing. But the Yankees have 2 on, and here comes Danny Murtaugh.
One more time, Murtaugh. And fans very unhappy right now. Friend, I think, knows that he's going to be gone. He's faced 2 men here in this inning, giving up 2 more base hits. And as good as Friend has been this year, he's got to be something that Bob Hart, and he's thinking right now, well, what has happened to me in this series? Why can't I have done it? But it's happened to the best of them. Bob Feller never won a World Series game either.
No, and Dick Farrell, who has done such a great job for the Buckos. He's been out there every third or fourth game that they've handed him that ball. He's never missed a turn. But today, he wishes he could have missed this turn.
Who has he ever had a sore arm in his life, has he?
I don't believe he ever has. He's been a bulwark in his Pirate pitching staff and a heavy heart, no question about it, as he leaves them out. And Harvey Haddish now takes the long stretch coming in. And while Harvey's walking in, we'll pause for this message.
Haddish, 11-10 on the year. Well remembered for the perfect 12 in Milwaukee. He's already had one of the fine pitching performances of this World Series. Now being brought on to try to stop the Yankee powerhouse here in the top half of the ninth inning. Fine runs on, nobody out here, Bob.
You know, when you look at it, too, there's no such thing as a bullpen in this seventh game. They fired everybody. Law and Friend and Haddix, they're all starters. And the Yankees have done likewise with Turley and Shantz and Terry and Stafford and company. I guarantee you, they're going at a super nail. The Buckos on top by a score of 9-7. But now the Yankees have 2 on and none out here in the top half of the ninth inning. And Roger Roger Maris, a very dangerous batter, standing in. Roger really ripped into one back in the fourth inning. Roberto and Jim Describe hauled it down after a running hard catch. And Elroy Face got him a foul out to Don Hook at third. So now, Roger Maris is 0 for 4. Look out for this guy. Having checked his runner out at second base, delivers a fastball on the inside corner for a strike. Leading by a score of 9-7 in the seventh game of the World Series. Harris coming from way back, got in front early, 4-0, then saw it chipped away to 4-1, then saw the lead disappear and even get harder. Now come roaring back with 5. Pitch comes down to Harris, up inside for the ball. Two men on, nobody out. Roger Maris, outfield swung to the right. Roberto Clemente hugging way down the line. Rocky Nelson not holding on the runner way down the deep line. Checks his runner out of second. Delivers, and there's a high twisted foul ball going up behind home plate. Al Smith going back, getting under. He got it, and it's one away.
Well, Bob, in my rather brief 7-year career compared to yours, this is my fourth World Series, but I do believe this is the craziest ball game of all I've ever been in.
Well, I don't know what else could be added to that one, Possum, as now stepping in is a guy that's going to be a switch hitter in this one, Mickey Mantle. He'll be batting right-handed in this one, and the Knicks thus far is 2 for 4. He is just pounding the cover off the ball, fly to center in the second inning, single to right in the fourth, beat out a chopper to short in the sixth, lined out hard to Grove in the eighth, and now stands in here, batting right-handed against Harvey Hedix with two on and one out, the Bucks leading by a score of 9-7. Pitch from Hedix, low and inside for the ball. Two, brother. One ball and no strikes to Mickey Mantle.
36,000 people saying, oh, brother, right with you.
And I think they got their fingers crossed and everybody's trying to hang in there. Bucks leading by a pair, but the Yankees have the winning run at the plate of Mickey Mantle. He can play the long ball in a hurry with you. Pitch upstairs for a ball, 2-0. It started off, Bob Friend came in, Bobby Richardson got a solid base hit to left. Then Dale Long batting for Demetri, ripped one to right. So Friend had to leave, and Haddix is in, nails Maris on a pop foul to Hal Smith, and now Mickey Mantle is in there. Pitch from Haddix, one on, drilled into right field by Mickey Mantle. And Bobby Richardson around third, he'll score. Dale Long going to third, he's in there. Mickey Mantle bangs the ball into right field, knocking in Bobby Richardson, and Dale Long goes all the way to third, and the Yankees have pulled within one. Holy Toledo Possum, what a ball game.
So many had to go so far to his right, he had no chance to show off the greatest throwing arm in baseball to take any kind of a shot at Dale Long. And the Pirates are right now in a peck of trouble.
And here's some interesting situations. Gil McDougal, whom we were talking about a little earlier, has now come in to run for Dale Long. You'd almost think in this spot that he would have been running for Long before this, but he's doing it now.
So, Dingle does some funny things, I'll tell you. Years I was with him. He has these punches. These things come to him at the last minute. He does these kind of things.
Okay, now it's a 9-8 ball game. There's only one out, and Yogi Berra is the batter. We got Mickey Mantle at first base, and Gil MacDougall is at third. With one away, the Buccos leading 9-8 in a riotous ball game. Pitch to Yogi Berra inside for the ball. Marty Haddix is on the relief of Friend. It starts out with Vernon Law, then Elroy Face, then Bob Friend, and now Harvey Haddix for all the money marbles and shots. Again, the pitch to Berra. Up inside is ball two, 2-0. Leading off third is Gil McDougal. Off first base is Mickey Mantle. Haddix has his sign now from Hal Smith. Checked his runners. Here comes the pitch. Berra swings it. There's a hot smash down to first. Back handled by Rocky Nelson. Steps on first. And Mantle slides back into first base. And the Yankees score the tying run. Holy Toledo. What a mismatch of a play.
I don't think we'll know when we get to the dressing room if and when this ball game ever gets over. One went through the mind of Rocky Nelson. McDougal is racing toward the plate for the tying run. The double play was in front of him. And why Mantle did not break toward second with a pitch, I'll never know.
Backhanded beautifully by Rocky can't help it. All he had to do was throw the ball to second base to Fourth Mantle, and the return throw is going to get better by a mile. He's not even out of the batter's box. But instead, Rocky stepped on first base. That took the first play off. Kuzma scored, and then, as Jim just said, we'll never know until we talk to them. Why did Mantle come back to first? But he did, as Rocky tried to tag him and didn't. And so we got a tie ball game, 9-9 with two away. That's unbelievable.
Tremendous reaction by Mantle. We'll have to see McDougal racing over the plate with a tying run and figuring, in his own mind, I've got a better chance to get back to first than I've ever got to get to second.
No question about that, and I know that Rocky Nelson will be upset with him. don't think you and I care. We'll ask Bill Mazeroski if we're able to do it on our post-game show to tell you all about that. But to wrap it up very quickly, Jim, let's give them a line score on what went on. If we can describe in a moment or so the dunk on the baseball game you'll ever see.
Pittsburgh, 10 runs, 11 hits, no errors, and only a man left on. And for the New York Yankees, 9 runs, 12 hits, 1 error, and 6 left on. The winning pitcher is Harvey Haddix, which now makes the series standoff. Vernon Law wins 2 ball games, and Harvey Haddix wins 2. And that's how they got the 4. And the losing pitcher is Ralph Terry. Well, that's it. We got to get to the dressing room. Final score, once again, as the Pittsburgh Pirates are the champions of the world. We want it all.
In case you ever need to know a little trivia, the clock above the left field scoreboard at the time of the home run read 3:37. That was made famous by a photo of the home run ball in flight. After the game, broadcasters Bob Prince and Jim Woods then headed downstairs to a champagne-soaked clubhouse in search of the hero of the day.
Here we are in a very tumultuous clubhouse. The Pittsburgh Pirates are the world champions of all of baseball. A year 1960 has to be about as great a year in the life of anybody. And Bill Mazeroski was the hero of the hour. Billy, there's no sense in saying it other than the fact you've got to be absolutely out of your mind.
Well, I feel great about this whole thing. I tell you, I didn't think anything like this would ever happen to me. But it's just great to win the ballgame and beat them there three Yankees for a change.
In the midst of all this thing, as we're getting rich with champagne and everything else going here, I wanted to go back just one pitch. Did you almost go after the first pitch that Terry threw you instead of the second one?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a high ball hitter, and the first ball that he threw was up high, but it was a little too high, and they called it a ball, and I think it's time that the rancher went out and talked to Terry and tell him to get it down a little. Well, he got it down a little, but not far. Right where, you know, right in my power alley, and I got a hold of it.
Did you have any idea that it was all the way gone, or did you just think it might be extra bases?
No, I had no idea that it was gone. I thought it would be over the left fielder's head and hit the wall. I knew I hit it good enough to hit the wall, but I didn't think it was good enough to get over. So that's why I was running so hard. You know, usually you go into your home run trot, and I didn't do that. So I didn't know it was out until I got on second, and that's when I got all excited.
Did you think you would ever reach home plate alive with all these mad people pouring out onto the field and grabbing at every part of your uniform and everything else?
Well, I tell you, I got a little scratch on the back of my neck. I didn't get as much thought. I was so excited about winning that ball game and that thing going out that I never gave it much thought. I just started jumping, and I don't even think I saw third base or touched any of them. I think I floated them.
When do you think it'll all set in, Maz?
I don't know. I'll give it maybe not even for a year or so, but I know one thing. I'm just glad we beat them Yankees.
Well, no one's going to set in with me when we get to the victory party at the Webster Hall, and that's where I'm headed for, baby.
Well, we both got to do
Well, there shouldn't be any trouble getting our way over there, although this place outside is an absolute madhouse as it is in the locker room. Maz, one thing, of course, the big Yankees ball club, they scored all the big runs, made the get shut out by Whitey Ford and everything like that. I kind of thought one of the keys to the game was late in the contest when Stengel took out Bobby Shands, and that brought in the right hand, and that gave Skinner a chance to bunt. You don't bunt in that situation with Bobby Shands out on that mound.
That's right. Bobby Shands is probably the best fielding pitcher in baseball. And I was glad to see Bobby Shands get out of there because he's tough one left-handers and right-handers. He's a tough little pitcher, and he's a dirty old guy. And I was kind of glad to see him get out of there.
There's one last thought from me. This was a team effort. Everybody on this ball club contributed all through 1960 and certainly in this series. What's your thoughts on the courageous performance of a not healthy Vernon Law? He was tremendous.
Well, I'll tell you what, without Vernon pitched he pitched as well as anybody in this series, and of course, always faced a great job of coming in relief. And it's been, like you say, a team effort, and nobody really carried the ball club at any one time. It had to be a team effort throughout the whole year, and it was the same way throughout the series as we came through in the close games to St. Delroy and our pitching staff. It was a great thing just to tell you, just great to be a part of this ball club.
Well, Maz, and laying it down before we get over all this stuff that's going on, and man, the Possum and I are drenched like you are, but you've got a uniform on. We're going to have to find a change our clothes. Let's just remember one thing. We beat the doggone New York Yankees, and we're the champions of the world. Let's get to the party.
We held him on that for a while.
Okay. Thank you, Maz. Hang in there.
Thank you.
Boom, 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 boom. All right.
Mazeroski would go on to have a very good career, accumulating over 2,000 hits, earning 8 gold gloves, and winning another World Series with the Pirates in 1971 as a bench player. But his name would always be synonymous with the 1960 World Series, the only player in history to end a World Series Game 7 with a home run. Largely based on his accomplishment on that October afternoon, he was voted into the Hall of Fame by the Veterans Committee in 2001. As for the Yankees, well, they'd be fine, winning the next two World Series and appearing in the next four. But this game was the final, managed as a Yankee by the great Casey Stengel. The old professor finished the Yankee portion of his managerial career with 1,851 wins in New York, 7 World Series championships, and 10 pennants in 12 seasons. You also heard of the injury to Tony Kubek. The Yankees shortstop was actually coughing up blood on the field after being hit in the throat with Verdant's chopper. Kubek would go to the hospital where he learned he had internal bleeding and a severely bruised vocal cord. Luckily for all of us, his voice recovered, and he was elected into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster in 2009. Other interesting facts about Game 7, the Pirates scored 10 runs while leaving just one runner on base. Also, not one strikeout was recorded in the series' ultimate game. If there are any games, events, or players you'd like to hear more about, send me an email at pete.mccarthy@mlb.com. Thanks so much for listening. The vault is closed.